going to pray for us one more time, just to submit this time to the Lord and for God's anointing to be with Pastor Jimmy as he preaches this morning. So let's pray together. Father, thanks so much for gathering us together. I'm just especially thankful to just be back with the church community. And we pray that you would guide us today and pray for your anointing upon Pastor Jimmy as he preaches. And we just thank you for the connection. And we just pray a blessing upon this time in Jesus' name. Amen. So I met Pastor Jimmy Reyes at the Vineyard Conference this past summer. We're in the same panel together about ethnic diversity in the Vineyard. And so he's a pastor at the Westside Vineyard. And he's an associate pastor there, also pastors their Spanish-speaking service. And we're glad that he's here. He's a new friend of ours. And so let's give him a warm welcome. Pastor Jimmy Reyes, everybody.
It's great to be here today. It's a privilege for me. Don't worry, I'm not going to speak to you in Spanish, but thank you, Pastor Dennis, for having me here today. And I just want to take time today to share a topic that is very dear to my heart, and I would even say it actually saved my life. And so just to give you a little bit of background, I consider myself to be an extrovert. Are there any extroverts here? I know, I'm sure there's a lot of introverts too, but you know, just some extroverts. So I'm the type of person that I hate to be alone. So if I'm in the car, I'm going to call somebody. Okay, so some of you are more extroverts now, right? Or if I don't have anything to do, I'm just going to find something to do or somebody to go hang out with. And just to add more background, I was born grew up in a Pentecostal Hispanic home where community and experiencing the presence of the Spirit is very important. So the stream of contemplative prayer was very foreign to me, but God has allowed these spiritual disciplines in my life now, and I just want to share a little bit about that so that it might help you. So since I'm geared to be around people and ministry, I have always found myself to be busy. I'm always busy, and the truth is that the majority of us would also say that we're busy. I mean, have you ever asked a friend, how are you? I'm busy. You know, how are you? I'm tired. You know, between work, church, friends, kids, marriage, financial responsibility, and chores, we find ourselves overwhelmed with everything that we have to do. So, and we just keep on going on and on. So I just want to share that we need to learn to disconnect from the busyness and the noise of life, which disorients our soul. We really need to learn to disconnect from all of it, you know, just be able to come before God. Many of us are so overwhelmed, tired, burned out, or even disappointed in life. And when we feel like this, what's the first thing we neglect when we're busy, when we're tired, when we have a lot to do? It's our prayer life. It's the first thing that usually goes. And it doesn't matter where we find ourselves. Usually our time alone with God is the first thing that we'll say, yeah, I don't have time for that. Am I the only one? I think a lot of us, right? If we were honest with ourselves, we would recognize that many times we are too busy for God. And we allow other imposter voices to influence our lives, just like the song we just did. May your voice be louder than all the others. And a lot of times we let other voices influence, other voices lure us away from God. So some of us might be filled with disappointment, even though externally things seem fine, but internally we're disconnected from God. You know, it's so easy to look at the Pharisees, and when Jesus said, you know, you worship me with your lips, but your hearts are far away. And it's so easy to say, oh, look at those Pharisees. But you know what? A lot of times I've found myself in that place where I'm worshiping, when I'm singing, when I'm outwardly, everything seems fine. But inwardly, I've disconnected from God. Inwardly, I my heart's not in it. And this happens so much in church life. On the outside, everything seems fine. We might be serving. We might be singing. We might be tithing. We might be, you know, helping out in the community. But inside, we have questions. doubts, resentments, and we feel that we can't share those negative emotions with anybody else because that's not spiritual, because people won't understand, because people will then look down on me. So we just save it. We stuff it. We want to be the good little boy or the good little girl before God. We can't express our negative feelings before Him. So let me just share a bit of my own story. My wife and I have been married for now over 16 years. And through half of our marriage, we went through a lot of loss. Through 8 years, we had 5 miscarriages. Before, you know, we wanted children. I loved children, and I wanted to have a big family. But imagine that. Before having any kids, we went through 5 miscarriages in 8 years. And I'm a very positive person, and it took all those to just get me to a place of, you know, to a really hard place. So we went through these were really dark times. And it definitely affected our lives, our marriage, and relationship with God. And even after all those marriages, and we were able to enjoy, we have 2 precious kids, you know, 1 6, 1 is 1 now. But even after having our miracle children, the disappointment, the loss, the lack of trust in God lingered in our lives. And although things on the outside seemed fine, my heart was affected. You know, being a pastor, I was able to just get busier, to just help other, more people. And I share this with you because loss, disappointment, busyness, and sin can affect our soul. And we can find ourselves disconnected from the source of life. On top of all these stresses, we find that there's so much else going on. Look at what George Barna, he surveyed Christians about prayer and spiritual growth, and this is what he found. 60% of those surveyed expressed a desire to grow spiritually. So a lot of people want to grow spiritually. 75% of those surveyed say they had no plan or process for growing spiritually. So a lot of people want to grow, but not a lot of people have a plan. And 66% or 2/3 says they were too busy to give the time that was required for the process of spiritual growth. So the truth is, we are busy. And add on to the busyness, technology. Although it's great, technology has invaded every space of solitude in our lives. For many of us, what's the first thing we do when we wake up? Obviously, then try to break our cell phone when it wakes us up because it's our alarm now, right? But so what do we do? Check messages from Facebook or Snapchat or whatever, you know, whatever you look at. That's the first thing we do when we wake up. What's the last thing you do when you go to sleep? Check emails. Make sure, you know, everything is okay, you know, through your gadgets. Nowadays, people can't even go to the toilet without their phone. I'm not even going to ask people who do that to raise their hands, okay? But just think about it, that next time you borrow somebody's phone and you're looking at their pictures and you're swiping through it. So technology has invaded every space of solitude in our own homes. So we're all saturated with images, voices, media, this year politics, and advertisement. And we just keep going like the Energized Bunny. You remember that commercial that just keeps going and going and going? It reminds me of the famous story of the tortoise and the hare. Last year, my wife and I took a financial program called Financial Peace University by Dave Ramsey. And through this video series, he shared that he went to a mentor of his, and he's like, what's this? You know, he was a billionaire, this mentor of his. He's like, what's the secret to success? And he was just waiting for just these great pieces of knowledge and nuggets of wisdom. And he simply received a copy of a kid's book, The Tortoise and the Hare. Have any of you read that book? Now, the point of the story is that the hare is obviously much faster than the tortoise. Now, Dave Ramsey uses this illustration to say that, obviously, in the book, the tortoise wins the race. He's much slower. And the hare, obviously, would everybody thinks he would win. But he talks about it as taking small steps in your finances to finally get to a better place. But I took that program, like, I can see that in the spiritual realm as well. Because you know what? Around culture, everybody's running like that hare. No focus, just from here to there, let's go do that, yeah, let's do that. I'm working here. Those of you who have kids, their schedule is crazy nowadays. Soccer and art, karate, and just all the, it's crazy, like busyness. So we're running around like the hare, but who will be successful, who will have an energized and transformed spiritual life? The one who slows down like the tortoise and is able to connect. Look at what Psalm 46:10 says. Be still and know that I am God. Can we read it together? Be still and know that I am God. This is one of my favorite Bible verses. It's so simple, so small, yet it's so profound. You could teach on each word, be, for 1 week. Just be. Still, you know that I am. I am, and then God. And as I read this verse, a lot of times I imagine this field of, like, nice grass next to a stream of water, just like Psalm 23, right? Like, just a place where I can just go lie down, take a nap, and just be before God. That's what I get when I read this verse. But as you read the whole chapter, you find that this verse was written in the midst of war and chaos. It's in the midst of war and chaos. So I think God is reminding us today that in the midst of the trials and busyness of life, we can be still. Be still and know that He is God. Because when we're able to be still and know that He is God, you know what that means? It means I'm not God. It means that life does not center around me, around what I want to accomplish, around my needs. Everything orbits around God. He is the center. So we need to learn to disconnect from the busyness and the noise of life and to learn to connect and abide in the life-giving presence of God. Now, the call is not just to disconnect and just into nothing, but the call is to disconnect from all the busyness, from all the noise, and connect to the source of life. We need to create a space in our lives to be able to connect with God. And we see this throughout the life of Jesus. He practiced times of silence and solitude to connect with the Father. I found in the Gospels that at least 6 instances where Jesus withdrew from others. The first one we find when he's baptized, remember? And after he's baptized, it says that the Spirit took him to the desert. And here for 40 days, he was tempted. He fasted for 40 days, and he was tempted by the enemy. So we see there fasting and solitude. He also withdrew when he had to make a big decision in life. Do you remember when he had to choose, when he chose the 12 disciples? The Bible says that he withdrew. So he went. He sought silence and solitude before a big decision. Other times we find that he disappeared. He took times of silence and solitude in the midst of ministry. Sometimes we see that he was ministering, that he was healing the sick, and all of a sudden the disciples are like, where's Jesus? Nobody could find him. He had disappeared. He went away. Even though there were still needs around, he left. Why? Because he knew it is important. I need to connect with the Father. So I want us to concentrate a little on the last occasion the Bible shares of Jesus withdrawing to be with the Father. And it's right before he was captured and crucified. We find it in Matthew 26, verses 36 through 46. And it says, Then Jesus went with his disciples to a place called Gethsemane. And he said to them, "Sit here while I go over there and pray." He took Peter and the two sons of Zebedee along with him, and he began to be sorrowful and troubled. Then he said to them, "My soul is overwhelmed with sorrow to the point of death. Stay here and keep watch with me." Going a little farther, he fell with his face to the ground and prayed, "My Father, if it is possible, may this cup be taken from me, yet not as I will, but as you will." Then he returned to his disciples and found them praying? No, sleeping. "Couldn't you men keep watch with me for 1 hour?" he asked Peter. "Watch and pray so that you will not fall into temptation. The spirit is willing, but the flesh is weak." He went away a second time and prayed, "My Father, if it is not possible for this cup to be taken away unless I drink it, may your will be done." When he came back, he again found them sleeping because their eyes were heavy. So he left them and went away one more time and prayed the third time, saying the same thing. Then he returned to the disciples and said to them, "Are you still sleeping and resting? Look, the hour has come, and the Son of Man is delivered into the hands of sinners. Rise, let us go. Here comes my betrayer." So here we find Jesus again connecting with the Father. You see, even in his darkest times, in his darkest moment, we see him seeking to engage the Father. Now, this is very powerful. What do we do when we feel ashamed? What do we do when we feel sinful? What do we do when we feel full of guilt? When there's trouble, when we've gone through loss, when we've gone through disappointment, when we failed, what do we do? Usually we're like, "I can't get close to God." That's the first reaction we have. But we see Jesus here in this moment of wow, this is going to be hard. The cross is going to be hard. He comes before the Father, and he's totally vulnerable and real as he taught about what was coming in the cross. And he said, "Father, can you take this cup away?" Think about it. Can you take this cup away, Father? Like, I'm not looking forward to the pain and the suffering, but your will be done and not mine. But see, we see this genuineness. We see this honesty in those darkest moments. Now, if Jesus, the Son of God, connected with the Father, don't you think we need to learn to connect with the Father? Like, if Jesus, being the Son of God, was on earth and he took time to just be with the Father, don't you think we need to learn? Dallas Willard, he said, people want to be like Jesus, to do the things he did, but they do not want to do the things he did that helped enable him to live as he did. You know, we get so enamored with prayer and ministry and serving the poor and the miracles, which are amazing. But yet we don't want to pay the price that Jesus paid. Take those moments of connecting with the Father, of withdrawing from everything, from all the noise, and coming before the Father. So we need to engage that practice of solitude and silence. In this place of solitude is where we can experience God, and we come to terms with who we really are without him. But we also start to realize who we are in him. He is our Father. And like I mentioned earlier, I am an extrovert. I hate those moments where I'm alone. That's just the way I'm wired. I get energized being with people. So God used these losses, this hurt, this painful season, to get me to a place of finally withdrawing a bit. And that is when I was able to connect with him, when I just came before him. Now, I'm not saying you need to go through hard times to be able to connect with the Father. But in a sense, maybe I went through some hard times so that you wouldn't have to. And let me explain that. I think that our lives are to be lived out for the sake of others. So when we go through failures, when we go through life lessons, when we go through experiences, we learn from them, but yet those are meant to be shared. Those are meant to help others not have to go through to things so that they can, you know, say, wow, you know, God, I don't need to go through suffering to learn to connect with you. So in a sense, we pass on what we learn. So in times of solitude, in times of silence, I discovered how much pain was really there in my life because of the losses. I was able to come before God and express to him how unfair I felt things were. I was able to cry and not feel like I had to perform to do anything before him. You know what? This is so freeing because we're used to doing. We're used to doing things to earn love, to earn respect, to earn acknowledgement, to earn validation. That's life. We have to do something to get that. But it's so freeing that as we come before God, we don't have to do anything but just be before him. As a daughter of God, as a son of God. And you just come and just be and spend time with him. And yes, express what you feel and let go of that fear of, is it right to say this, God? A lot of times we feel like we can't, you know, I grew up in the church. I want to be that good little boy before God. Can I say that, God? Like, would you be offended if I say that? Now, if you ever feel that way, look at the Psalms. A third of the Psalms are called lamentations, where the psalmist says, Lord, God, where are you? Why have you forsaken me? We have a book called Lamentations in the Bible. Let me tell you that God is bigger, greater than the hurt, the anger that we might have inside. So those of you who are parents understand this. My 6-year-old boy, you know, he loves me, but sometimes he doesn't, it seems. And he comes and says, Dad, you're this or this or that. And as a father, I know that's how he's feeling at that moment. You know what I mean? So imagine God is way better at that than I am. So he can take what we will come before him. So in the Garden of Gethsemane, we see that Jesus took a few disciples to be close to him, but they kept what? Falling asleep. And Jesus said, the flesh is weak. Isn't it true? A lot of times, you know, we could be busy, we could talk. I mean, some of you, I'm sure, talk on the phone or maybe text now, right? We don't really talk on the phone that much, but we text till like 3 a.m. and you know, go on Facebook or, you know, do that forever. But then open your Bible at 3 a.m, you'll fall asleep right away, right? I mean, if you ever have insomnia, you know, read the Bible, start praying. I mean, it cures it right away. But why? The flesh is weak. The flesh is weak. So it takes focus. It takes energy to connect with God. So number three, it is important that we learn to establish a consistent daily rhythm of prayer, which will help us grow and give fruit. In the Garden of Gethsemane, we see that Jesus withdrew how many times? 3 times. And as I said earlier, Jesus withdrew throughout the Gospels. We see that he had a prayer rhythm in his life. So we are asked to do the same, to connect at all times. John 15:4 says, remain in me as I remain in you. No branch can bear fruit by itself. It must remain in the vine. Neither can you bear fruit unless you remain in me. We are the branches, and to grow and give fruit, we need to abide. We need to remain in him. If you have a Bible or taking notes, remain, abide. Just circle that, underline that. It's not supposed to be a once in a while experience. It's not supposed to be a once a week Sunday experience. It's a daily experience. Every moment, abide, remain. And throughout Scripture, we're reminded, 1 Thessalonians 5:16 through 18, rejoice always, pray continually, give thanks in all circumstances, for this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus. Colossians 4:2, devote yourselves to prayer, being watchful and So it needs to be something that we continually do. Now, again, I was born in a Pentecostal home. I love those moments where the Spirit just comes and just comes over you. You know, I'm sure some of you experienced that at cat retreats or camps, or, you know, you just feel the power of the Spirit. But let me tell you, life is not always that way. Yes, we're thankful for those moments, but life is not always that way. And like, again, I said, I didn't understand that contemplative stream, but I started, you know, about 3 years ago. You know, just daily prayers, daily connection with God. And honestly, I didn't feel a spiritual high all the time. But I kept going. But it's been the last 3 years that I've had this rhythm. And actually, honestly, I can say it here, I'm a better person now. I've been following Christ for 35 years. I know I don't look that old. I'm just kidding. I started when I was 2. No, I'm just kidding. I've been following Christ for 35 years. I've been a pastor for 22 of those years. But I haven't seen transformation in my life like I've seen it in the last 3 years. I haven't. And let me tell you something. My mind has been transformed. My mind has been changed. And I can't tell you when exactly it happened. Like, on this day, this happened. I can't tell you. But it's just a journey along the way. God rewires, God transforms. Just when we abide, when we remain, when we spend time with Him. It's like, in Spanish, there's this saying that says, tell me who you're with and I'll tell you who you are. Dime con quien andas, te diré quien eres. Spanish, not like somebody's going to understand maybe, but dime con quien andas, te diré quien eres. Tell me who you're with and I'll tell you who you are. And it talks about the influence of those around you. Well, imagine if you're spending time with God. Tell me who you are. I'm a son. I'm a daughter of God. Tell me what's important to you. What's important to Him. Tell me the things that you dislike. The things He dislikes. But see, many times we just focus on sin. We look at our sinful nature. And again, I'm not saying it shouldn't be balanced. But we focus a lot on our sins and our weakness. And if we do that, you know what we're doing? We're focusing on that. We're focusing on the wrong thing. When we read in John 15, it says that we remain in Him and we will give good fruit. So what should our focus be? Him. Being with Him. Spending time with Him. And as we focus on Him, things will change. But He should be our focus. You know, a lot of times, I used to be a youth pastor many years ago, and kids would come up to me and say, hey, so how close can I get to that fire without getting burned? You know, in other words, how close can I get to that sin? It's not really a sin, but how close can I get to it? That's the question I would get a lot, basically. And I was like, why is the question how close can you get to that? Why isn't the question how far away can you get from that? In other words, our focus is that fire, that sin, that weakness in me. And having that, it's the wrong focus. It should be in being with the Father, in being with Jesus. He will complete that work that He started in us as we dwell, as we abide, as we connect with Him. So I just want to encourage you to develop a certain routine in your life of prayer, of seeking God, disconnecting from the noise. A lot of times we have music on all the time, and I'm a musician, I love music, but popping those things off just so you can have time before God. And you know what? You don't have to talk all the time. A lot of times when we talk, we're trying to manipulate people. Words manipulate. We use words to manipulate, and we think that we can manipulate God, right? But yeah, sometimes just stop talking and just be before God. Hear His word. Open your ears and see what He wants to tell you. So, what is your plan? What is your routine? If you have something, is it working? If you haven't started, what can you do? How can you start? And again, don't be like that hair. I'm going to pray 4 times. I'm going to do this. No, baby steps. Start like that tortoise. Maybe you could say, you know, I could do it once every day at 5 minutes at this time. I can do that. And there's many different spiritual disciplines. Again, you know, I started one called the Fixed Prayers. If it's helpful, you know, I think there's a website there that you can, the Ann Arbor Vineyard has one, when you can designate 2 to 4 times during the day. Again, if it's too much, don't do it. But, you know, for me, I found that, you know, I could do it in the morning, afternoon, evening, at night, and it helps me kind of, I guess, recenter my life, because a lot of times when you start making this a process, you start learning that, wow, there's a lot of times that Jesus is not even focused in my life. In my day, you know, we can go days without thinking about Jesus. But when we start this routine, then we start saying, wow, you know, I took this time in the morning and now it's afternoon, and wow, I spent 3 hours without really, I mean, he's always there, obviously, but I didn't focus on him. And so, again, it does something. It changes something in us. And I don't have too much time left, but there's another prayer called the Prayer of Examine, and where you just take time of silence and solitude and come before the Father. And, you know, have you guys heard about it's good to have an accountability partner? You know, to somebody you can share life with and just have prayer time with? And that's great. But you know what? With this type of prayer, and I'm not saying you shouldn't. We shouldn't do that. It's always good. But with this prayer, God kind of becomes our accountability partner in a way that we come before him in stillness and in silence, and then just we're thankful for the day or you know, the last 24 hours or the last 12 hours. And then we reflect on what how he's been moving in our lives. Or maybe something I did that you know, is not going for his will. It's not aligned with his will. And then you allow yourself to just either experience that joy of, wow, God, you're moving and I'm so thankful, or the sorrow of, you know, Jesus, I missed it in this moment, you know, forgive me. And then just hope for the rest of the day or the next day. And it's a prayer that examines our life, that we allow the Spirit to just come and be there with us. So these are just a few of the things that have helped out. I don't have a lot of time, but why don't we just stand a little bit and just take a moment of silence. Again, we're used to a lot of noise, a lot of stuff going around, but why don't we just take a moment and just close our eyes and just be before the Father. Maybe there's been disappointment in your life, and even trying to connect with God is hard at this point. I invite you to tell him, yeah, I'm upset, I'm disappointed, I'm angry. Or maybe you're used to performing, try to gain people's acknowledgement, validation, and love. And in this moment of silence and solitude and being before God, you don't have to perform. You can just be before him. And you know what? He loves you. So maybe that's what God wants you to understand this day. He loves you. No matter what you do, no matter what you say, he loves you. Just receive that love. Receive his presence. Come, Holy Spirit. Come, Holy Spirit. May your voice be louder. Yes, Lord. May your voice be. May your love be more attractive than all the other false ways in which I look for love. May your presence be just more fulfilling than entertainment. Of you, I want more of you, Lord. More of you. Come, Lord. So for some, I just see a wall that's crumbling. That wall that just the love of God is penetrating. The love of God is just filling. So if that's you, just say, yeah, God, move more. Just bring it down. Bring it down.
Father, I just want to represent our church to say yes to this word this morning. We just pray that you would speak to us about the rhythms that would work for us connecting with you. We pray that you'd speak it to each one of us. We pray that more and more we can spend the quality time with you and help us see what that looks like for each one of us. We just ask for much wisdom in that. We also have the prayer ministry team, if you can come forward at this time. And we're just going to close out our service with these two songs, but also this is an opportunity for us to pray. And just like that word that Pastor Jimmy gave at the end, that there might be some of us where we've been experiencing that wall, and we just want to pray together for that. So any and all prayer requests, but just especially that, and we'd love to pray for you as we close out. So, Holy Spirit, we continue to invite you. We do say, come, Holy Spirit, do the work that only you can do. Break down the walls that might be there in our lives.